By mid-afternoon, Quinn had already decided that the Skibbos and Carvers were going to be playing a very prominent role in his next Black Mass ceremony. The lengths of wood they had cut that morning were laid out across the grass, marking out a square of land 35 meters aside next to the existing stockade. Quinn and Jackson Gale were working together, taking it in turns to hammer the upright posts into the ground. The other four Ivetts in the work party were busy nailing the horizontal beams into place behind them. They had already completed one side and were three posts along the next. It had rained earlier, but Frank hadn't let them stop work. "Bastard!" Jackson Gale muttered as he took another swing with a sledgehammer. The post shook as it thudded another 3 centimeters into the soil. "He wants to have this finished by tonight, so he can show Gerald what a good, keen little boy he's been. Means we're going to be walking back in the dark." "Don't worry about it," Quinn said. He was kneeling down, holding the black post upright. The mayop wood was wet, difficult to grasp. "This rain makes everything slippery," Jackson grumbled. "Accidents come easy, and on this planet you get damaged, you stay damaged. That drunken old fart of a priest don't know shit about proper doctoring." The sledgehammer hit the post again. "Relax. I've been thinking this place would be a good target for us."
"Yeah? You know what really pisses me off? Frank climbs into bed with that Paula every bloody night. I mean, she's not got tits like Marie had, but God's brother, every night."
"Will you stop thinking with your dick for one fucking minute? I let you have Rachel, don't I? That's as well as our girls."
"Yeah, thanks, Quinn. Sorry."
"Right. We'll start working out who we want to bring and when we're going to do it." Jackson tightened the straps of cloth he had wrapped round his palms to give a tighter grip on the sledgehammer's handle. "Tony, maybe. He's pretty easy around the village. Talks to the residents. Think he could do with reminding where his loyalties lie."
"Could be."
Jackson swung the sledgehammer again. Quinn caught a flash of motion out on the vast plain of rippling grass, back towards the thin dark green line which marked the start of the jungle.
"Hold it!"
He upped his retinal implant to full magnification. The running figure resolved. "It's Lawrence, God's brother. He looks about dead." He scanned the land behind the youth, looking for a saith or crook line. Something must be making him run like that. "Come on!" He started trotting towards the floundering teenager. Jackson dropped the sledgehammer and followed Quinn. Frank Carver was measuring out the distance between the posts, setting them up correctly for the Ivetts. Not that those idle buggers would appreciate the effort, he thought. You had to watch them the whole time, and they had no initiative. Everything had to be explained. He strongly believed most of them were retarded. Their sullen silence certainly indicated it. He leaned in on the spade, tearing out the knobbly roots of grass. This stockade was going to be a mighty useful addition to the homestead. The original one was far too cramped now the animals were reaching adult size. They'd need the extra room for the second generation soon. Certainly the sheep would be mature enough to be inseminated in a few more months. Frank had been faintly dubious about coming to Lalonde. But now he had to admit it was the greatest decision he'd ever made. A man could sit back every evening and see what he'd achieved. It was a tremendous feeling. And there was Paula, too. She hadn't said anything yet, but Frank had his suspicions. She looked so vital of late. The sounds made him look up. Something wrong. 4 of the Ivetts were still hammering away at the horizontal bars, but there was no one using the sledgehammer. He cursed under his breath. Quinn Dexter and the stalwart Jackson Gale were 100 meters away, running through the grass. Unbelievable. He cupped his hands to his mouth and shouted, but they either didn't hear him or they just ignored him. Probably the latter, knowing them. Then he saw the figure running in front from the jungle, the erratic, stumbling gait of a desperate man on his last legs. As he watched, the figure fell, arms windmilling. Quinn and Jackson increased their pace. Frowning, Frank started towards them. The voices led Frank for the last 20 meters. All 3 of them were crouched below the wispy grass. It was another Ivet, the young one. He was lying on his back, sucking down air in huge gulps, trying to talk in a high-pitched, choking voice. His feet were reduced to bloody meat. Quinn and Jackson were kneeling beside him.